First they came for the snack wraps, and I said nothing because I use it as a supplement to my daily meal, you know, as a part of the value menu. Then they came for the McFlurries, and I said nothing because I only go for desserts or pastries at a specific time when I'm in the mood for such. Then they came for the Big Macs, and I said nothing because it was too late. You're all complicit. As far as I'm concerned, if you're not speaking out about the travesty, the sham, and the mockery surrounding the removal of snack wraps from McDonald's menu, the Traversham mockery, you are complicit in the destruction of America. You're all complicit. This is the Audio Development Journal. Another sad day in the year 2020. I believe we're getting into the 30s by now. Take pride in our progress with regard to the TSN, at least, right? That's on the bright side. This one's going to be about digging deeper into the colored clout approach and perhaps a few other things, we'll see. First order of business would be thinking about the colored coins approach as it's been formalized with regard to Bitcoin, and I've dug a bit deeper into this. So there's two implementations of colored coins protocols. The first is the open assets protocol. Second is the colored coins protocol by Kolu, C-O-L-U, I believe. And there are some slight differences in the approach of these two. What I realized upon my research is a slight upgrade or correction in my thinking. I'm thinking out loud about this idea. Technically, here's the way it works, right? Colored coins. What was happening is originally in the Bitcoin protocol, people were just replacing the address in an output with arbitrary data in order to embed data in the Bitcoin blockchain. What happened was there was a back and forth between the developers and community on people doing this over this, a bit of contention. And, you know, you had these basically intentionally fake transactions that weren't to spend money to another person, but to embed data by, you know, putting it in place of the output address. So the developers essentially came to this agreement to allow this opcode, I guess, called return or op return, which allows the operator to embed up to 80 bytes of data in the transaction as a provably unspendable output, to sort of like appease what people were doing. But the major point to note here, which is the correction of my thinking, is, or at least phrasing the idea is pretty much the same, was that what we would do would be embed, you know, this mining issuance transaction of our own in really the Litecoin blockchain is what we were proposing, but concept is the same. And but the correction is what we were saying, whoever owned this output to use as an input for another transaction would essentially be the owner of the clout, now in practice and what you see with how these two implementations of colored coin protocols, or these two colored coin protocols implement things, is that the output is by definition, which of which you're embedding data, not a spendable output. So what they're really doing, and so that's the correction, is I was saying whoever owns this output could then spend it along, you know, once it was embedded, and whoever owns it is essentially, you know, determined by Bitcoin consensus to be the owner of the cloud, of the colored cloud. But it doesn't technically work like that, because that output, once it's once this data is embedded, it is an unspendable output. So you can't, I mean, it's in the Bitcoin blockchain, but it's not in the mempool, so it's not going to be moving, as I understand it, once this is done. And you could only do one return output per transaction. At first I thought you could resend it if it was combined with other outputs, but I do not think that's the case. So essentially what these two implementations of colored coins do is they embed this information, and then they play around with the preceding outputs, and in one case subsequent output in that transaction, and the return output, which has the embedded information, is called the marker transaction. And they essentially use the preceding and subsequent to mark either an issuance transaction or a transfer transaction using their own protocol, which, you know, does their own interpretation, because Bitcoin explorers won't recognize their own encoding, right? So, but the point is, they're using these preceding and subsequent outputs to encode and designate their own protocol information. So the question is, could we do something similar to that, or literally use these protocols, right? And problem number one is, I don't know if they exist for Litecoin or not. That's one thing. The other thing is, or could we sort of just do our own implementation of it on Litecoin? Like, what they're doing, it looks like, is essentially using this information to update a state of transactions, right? What I want is to just be an input, is to just be able to create these outputs that could be inputs for transactions, and then it's like whoever owns them owns the cloud. So there's a few ways to look at this. The first would be, if you are using these protocols, you know, by the book, so to speak, it enables you to recreate this abstraction of 50 coins per block, if you choose, which gets cut down to 25, and then 12.5, and so on, and, you know, which Bitcoin has. The way I was initially thinking about it was sort of removing that abstraction, and one input on the Litecoin blockchain is going to be one issuance transaction, or one coin, I guess, depending how you want to think about it. So the question is what you want to do, and if it is going to be one, one unit of cloud, I guess that's the way to put it, is equal to one spendable transaction on the Litecoin blockchain, which again, it's not the output that is embedded, but if you could achieve it by just doing the preceding output in the same transaction, considering that to be the output which represents the unit of clout, if you're going to do things that way, then you're assuming a much smaller supply. Now, considering that spending this output, assuming it can be done, is going to have a transaction cost on the Litecoin blockchain, in some ways it's good to have less units than Bitcoin, right? Because you at a bare minimum, you have to be expecting that these cloud units are going to be more than the average transaction fees on the protocol you are embedding them in, right? So, in order to justify it. So, it depends how you want to look at it. Bitcoin is digital gold, but maybe you want to do some fucking unobtainium here, right? And 'tis a fool's errand to think he who creates the smallest number of units for his protocol will make them valuable, because you're assuming that there will be demand for said units. But of course, that is the assumption, is that these things will be useful with the person who is issuing them. That's the whole point. So, given that there's going to be this use for them, and given that it's going to be a one unit of clout per embedding transaction on the Litecoin blockchain, maybe it's better that there's less than the Bitcoin supply total cap in our clout, right? And Bitcoin is the digital gold of the world, so that was sort of like, that's what Bitcoin is, and this is obviously much different. So it was like, well, maybe this is the starting point, but that doesn't mean that's where we're gonna go. I mean, whatever we decide, once we decide it, is gonna be it, and that's it. But we're still, our Bitcoin in 2007, right? If Satoshi was, and let's be fucking realistic, he didn't just know 21 million, he thought about the shit. I mean, there's the arbitrariness of the number, but he's still, the issuance rate and all that was very careful. Point is, he didn't just say 21 million. He thought about shit a lot, then tinkered with it, then thought about it. But not all that was in public. Or, maybe it was in front of some people, but not everyone. That's a whole other interesting thing, right? So the point is, we're trying to figure out our protocol here, in this LARP where we're adding, in our grand LARP of replacing social media, and more specifically adding a financial aspect to it to incentivize mining of your blocks and making them redundant, which can be used as sort of a rewards point for the person who is issuing the clout. Now, important to note, another not a correction, but I was just throwing out a highball estimate of what Litecoin transaction fees could get to be, and our assumption in our example was $5 per transaction, like assuming that. Now, I knew it wasn't anywhere close to that, but I wanted to highball it, just in our thought experiment. And it turns out, in reality, at least for now, and this does always change, it's really, you're talking a couple of cents, for a Litecoin transaction these days, right? So that's kind of important data. Now that doesn't mean it's always going to be that. In fact, it won't be that if Litecoin is what I believe it to be. But nonetheless, much, much cheaper than Bitcoin. So that's one thing. We're talking a couple of cents per transaction. Then it's like if you start to think about, we got to that 6.3 million number based on Bitcoin's issuance transactions, which has the abstraction of 50 coins, which gets cut in half every 4 years. And in our example, if it's equal to one embedded output in the Litecoin blockchain, then it's really 6.3 million in total. But so then you could think about it further and say, well, maybe it doesn't even need to be 6.3 million. And let me tell you what I mean by that. If you think about Bitcoin, we are removing the abstraction of the 50 coins per issuance transaction or per block, however you want to think about it, which gets cut in half. So if we were to just do the straight 6.3 at trying to target, 144 per day, 144 issuance transactions, then you're removing the halving aspect of Bitcoin. So without the abstraction of the coins in this branch of thinking, you would have to do things a bit differently to recreate this halving of supply. And so what you could do is you could change the target rate of transactions. And so in reality, also what I haven't touched on is that targeting 144 issuance transactions per block would not necessarily be measured each block. You could really do it, maybe it's an average of 10 blocks or maybe 14 if you want to kind of get around that 2 week number of, you'd really want 144 times 7 per 2, or times 14 per 2 week average. That's how you could measure it, but nonetheless, I digress. The point being here is that you are removing Bitcoin's halving abstraction by just using that 6.3 million number, which was derived by calculating how many issuance transactions of Bitcoin there were per day and extrapolating that out to halving and extrapolating that out to the Bitcoin lifespan of 139 years of issuance, or 131 years, I should say. So the point is, using that 6.3 number, if you're removing the 50 abstraction, you've taking away the halving aspect, and how do you recreate that? Well, what you could do is you could change the target rate every 2,000, or sorry, 210,000 TSN issuance transactions. And so what it could do is it could go from 144 with zero difficulty to half that to basically 72 issuance transactions as your target rate, and this would happen every 210,000 issuance transactions. So you see, you're effectively recreating this halving asymptotic mechanism, but with much lower numbers. So here's the way this could work. You'd start out with 210,000 issuance transactions, which all are one unit of clout in the first 4 years of your TSN blocks, right? And then the difference here is, as compared to Bitcoin, it's not the abstraction of 50 coins per block, which is getting cut in half, but in our scenario, it would actually be the number of blocks being solved or issuance transactions which are cut in half, as that's what the difficulty would be targeting. And so that would go from 144 issuance transactions per day or per block target rate in the first 4 years to 72 and to 36 and so on. And so then when you do the math on that, you're really talking 210,000 issuance transactions in the first 4 years, then you're saying 105,000 in the next 4 years, and there's essentially how many, 30-something halvings in the life of Bitcoin, right? So when you redo the math on our terms, it comes out to less than 500,000 units of cloud, if you're doing it this way, which, if one unit is going to be an output on the Litecoin blockchain, maybe that's better. Maybe you want this to be some fucking unobtainium shit to know there's a good chance it's going to justify the fees it takes to move the output. So that's the first branch of thinking, right? And further, just an unrelated addendum, is there was some thought as to making, giving credit for all the blocks when you're syncing up in mining. I'm not sure it should be that way. We'll see. Maybe you should have to sync up in order to solve the next block, but, you know, hundreds of people can be solving the next block at once, and you're targeting 144, and that number changes based on the difficulty. And if there's less than 144, they're just solving your block by fucking, you know, if the difficulty is zero, they're just adding it to their node, and that's fine, because we're still making blocks redundant. But it makes things more clear and simple if everyone is not, like, solving further block. It's more intuitive. It's like you sync up to the current block, and then everyone is solving the next block, so to speak, whether that's simply doing it with zero difficulty or not. So anyway, that was all the first branch, is the one clout unit per spendable output approach. But so now we have new information. It's like, if you want, you could do the colored coins protocol literally, or the open assets protocol literally, potentially. And then it's like, well, you have the option if you want to create that abstraction of 50 to 25 to 12. And then, so the other question is change, right? In the first scenario, how do you handle change? So we're going to think more about it all. It's interesting. Perhaps it could have to do with the amount of Litecoin you put in the starting transaction output, right? Which is going to be a spendable one in the same transaction as the marker output. Perhaps. Got to think about that one. In other words, you don't have to do one Satoshi or whatever the fuck, a Litoshi, right? It could be one Litecoin, which is divisible, what is it, the same as Bitcoin, up to 8 places. So then, you know, perhaps you could do it that way. I'm going to think about it more. Coming up on 24 minutes. Was there anything else I wanted to touch on in this one? LTC Joe has been messing around with my SQL databases. You could check that out. It seems it's pretty straightforward of how hashtags could work with these server feeds in terms of, you know, just storing the data. You wouldn't need to store much. It could just be a couple of columns, and then you just populate this database, which keeps track of it. The more complicated question, and, you know, is like how they're, I mean, this is what people who have been in this field should fucking know by now, But I'm getting up to speed and all, so it's like, well, are you going to let people access this database through an API? So I'm looking into APIs and different function calls and how all that works. Or are you just like printing out a CSV? Which could work because it has all the signatures and signature data, so it's like it serves as good proof. You don't like need user access to the data, but you could do it that way, and you just sort of give people different, they don't have the privileges to tamper with this database, but they could access. It's like all how you want to do it. But and then that's another question is right now our own blockchains are just these PDFs. Does it always, you could sort of control F these to find certain types of TSN references, which is going to be important, but you want to be able to search them all, to query them all right at once, to put in a search term which queries all blocks. So can you format them, the PDFs, in such a way that that works, or should it actually be in a database? And that could play into like syncing up and all that. So does it have to be in a database? These your own blocks. So all good questions. It's all coming along, learning every day. What else? Anything else? The SQL, the API. Oh, I've been messing with IRC a bit. We may have our own IRC just to talk about stuff related to the TSN. I want to learn more about that as to if it could actually be some sort of function. Like that, how are we going to do these ping functions? Is it going to be an API? Could it be something with that? Is it gonna, or could it be there's a bunch of different ways to do it, right? So I don't want to go on too long, but be back soon. Peace.